You would look with me in your Bibles to the book of James. Book of James. As you're turning, all the hymns that we were singing relate to our being in glory with the Lord. I read once, I don't know who it was that made the statement, but the writer said that this was his belief. I believe it's pretty accurate. That when we do see Jesus, we'll just instinctively bow and kneel before him. Just instinctively. Don't have to be told, just kneel before the Lord. The book of James in chapter 3, reading verses 1 and 2. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and also able also to bridle the whole body. Look also, if you would, to chapter 2 and verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. My subject is our sins. Not just simply sin, but our sin, our personal sins. It's very easy for us to notice, even point out the sins of others. But sometimes we have difficulty seeing our own sin in our own life. But each of us has sin in our life. Each of us commits sins. You might hold your place there in James, in the book of 1 John, and in chapter 1. 1 John in chapter 1 and in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You'll notice verse 9, if we confess our sins, plural, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Keep in mind back in the book of James that James is writing to believers. You'll notice in verse 1, he said, my brethren. That's a term that indicates fellow saints. My brethren. In verse 2, in many things we offend all, meaning we all offend. There's three things I want to point out here in this. In verse 2, in many things, James said, we. Notice he included himself. We. He said, we offend. We offend. That does not just simply mean that you hurt somebody's feelings. This word means that we stumble, we fail, we fall, we sin. Writing again to the brethren, the saints of God. And then he used the word all. Every one of us stumbles, fails, falls, and sins. It's written in the book of Ecclesiastes that there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That is true of believer and unbeliever alike. We all sin, and that's what I want us to notice this evening, our sins. According to our text in verse 2, we offend, we sin. And it says, in many things. In many things. I'm guilty. You're guilty. We'll be guilty as long as we live here upon this earth. In many things we offend all. Each of us offends, sins, in word, in thought, in actions, in many different ways. Sometimes it's just a lack of action. The sin of omission is just as great as the sin of commission. Failing to do what God said to do is a great sin. And we do sin in many ways. I've pointed this out before over the years, but I'm going to Matthew 25. But I want to point this out. Sin and just not doing what we ought to do. And this is true again of believers and unbelievers alike. I've noticed over the years in Matthew chapter 25, and I'm going to read verse 31. It speaks about when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, sitting upon the throne of His glory. And in verse 32, there will be gathered before Him all nations, and He'll separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He'll set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left hand. And He'll say unto those on His right hand, Come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then He begins to state things that they have done. Things that they have done. But then when you get to verse 41, then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And then He begins to list what they did not do. When you read from verse 41 on down, you don't find any one sin or multiple sins of action, but rather He states things that they did not do. Their condemnation here is what they did not do. Now I'm going to go back to James once again, this time in chapter 4. And I'll read in verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's a sin that's overlooked sometimes. Knowing what we ought to do. Knowing, as it says here, to do good, and then we just don't do it. That's one of the many sins that James is speaking of in our text. Notice the last words in Romans chapter 14 and in verse 23. James said, in many things we offend all, in many things. In Romans chapter 14 and in verse 23, the last words, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Sin is a problem that we're going to have as long as we live here upon this earth. I'm going to read to you from Proverbs chapter 24 and in verse 9. The thought of foolishness is sin. How many foolish thoughts have you had? Well, it's sin. It's sin. The thought of foolishness is sin. Now, also in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, and in chapter 59, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 12, for our transgressions are multiplied before thee. And our sins testify against us. I'm going to stop there. Notice Our transgressions are multiplied before thee. I know I've gone over this in the past, but I'm going to do it again. Consider the multiplication of sins. That's what verse 12 speaks of. Our transgressions are multiplied before thee. Now, if you want to do a little bit of math, do a little multiplication. 24 hours in a day, just supposing that you sleep 8 hours, well, you've got that remaining time there, 16 hours, that you are awake. It's possible to sin in your sleep. But you've got 16 hours of you're awake. Supposing that you commit 2 sins an hour. I think that would be very generous for those 16 hours. And thinking about that, I could not help but think, well, maybe some hours we don't commit 2 sins, but there's other days and hours we catch up. Two sins an hour be 32 sins per day. 7 days a week, I figured this out, 224 sins per week. 4 weeks in a month, that's 896 sins. 12 months in a year, that's 10,752 a year. You live to be 50 years old, 537,600 sins. 60 years old, 645,120. 70 years old, 752,640. 80 years old, 860,160. That's a lot of sin. That's a lot of sin. That's just being very generous, saying we only sin twice in an hour in actions, thought, omitting what we ought to do, knowing to do good and not doing it. It's a very large number. Again, in our text, James said that in many things we offend, in many different areas we offend, and all of us do, we sin, and it's just another reminder that there is none righteous, no, not one. I won't go to it, but it does me good to go back at times and just read Romans chapter 7. What Paul wrote about his own life and how sin was still dwelling in him. How Paul knew that there were some things that he ought to do, but he would not do it. And other things that he knew he ought not do, and he would do it, and Paul had that spiritual warfare that goes on. And we know that we have the imputed righteousness of Christ, but at the same time, sin remains and we still sin. And another thing, when you consider the numbers that I've gone over, they are large numbers when you consider all of your life, all the sins. And then you consider that great number of God's elect and all of that great number of sins put upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And Peter wrote, he did bear our sins in his own body on the tree. As we consider the matter of sins in the book of Hebrews and in chapter 3, Hebrews and in chapter 3, notice if you would verse 12 and verse 13. Take heed, brethren. Again, he's writing to saints. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Writing to believers. Notice the last words in verse 13. The deceitfulness of sin. I don't know of anything in this world that is any more deceitful than sin. And again, it is deceitful for the unbeliever and the believer alike. And one common deceit of sin is having us to believe that we are good people. Unbelievers, sinners believe they're good people. But then there are saints that believe, some of them believe that they are without sin. Some even believe in sinless perfection. But have you ever noticed in just the nature of man how easy it is to excuse sin? That's true of all of us. It's easy to excuse sin. Know to do good and do it not, but we can make an excuse why we didn't do it. And it helps our conscience. But the Bible still says if we know to do good and do it not, it's sin. Just not doing what we ought to do. It's easy to put sin into different categories that are not biblical. Some lies, you know, are just little white lies. Others are just bold, bald-faced lies. Both are equally sin. I've even heard some saints say over the years, as they were making plans to sin. You realize believers make plans to sin? I know in their mind they're not really thinking, I'm making plans to sin, but many times saints do make plans to sin, and they can excuse themselves by saying, I think God will understand. Well, He will understand. He'll understand that you are in rebellion against Him. That's what He'll understand. He'll understand that that rebellion is willful, thought out rebellion. I don't know how many times I've heard those that I fully believe are Christian people, and they'll say, I think God will understand. Well, He will. He'll have an understanding. Look in the book of Psalms, if you would, in Psalm 19. In Psalm 19, it speaks of a particular kind of sin. And a man after God's own heart prayed to God and said, keep me from this sin. Notice, if you would, verse 13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. Now those who have that idea that they know they're going to do wrong, they're planning on doing wrong, it's their intention to go against biblical precept, but somehow they say, I think God will understand. That's a presumptuous sin. A presumptuous sin is knowing that it's wrong, but presuming God will excuse it. A presumptuous sin. And David made this prayer, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, plural. Let them not have dominion over me. It's so easy for us to have presumptuous sin. Well, that's okay. or it'll be okay this time. I won't do that again. And again, what I've heard so many times, God will understand. God never excuses sin. Never. Not even when sin was placed upon his son, God did not overlook it. He judged it, and he still will. Sin deceives. Sin deceives. The deceitfulness of sin. You know, the unbeliever knows, if he has any kind of upbringing as at all, knows that there are moral standards. But yet, they live a life with no regard to those moral standards. You show an unbeliever through the word of God hell, and the unbeliever does not flee from it. Show them in the word of God glory in heaven with the Lord. They don't seem to have any desire for it. Warn the unbeliever of judgment of sin and what is coming in the future, and they're able just to laugh it off. None will ever be convinced of sin until the Holy Spirit of God takes the Word of God and reveals unto them the law of God. Notice that in the scripture, if you will. I'm going to read two places in the book of Romans. Romans and in chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for or because... That's not the purpose of the law. By the law is the knowledge of sin. One reason believers are able to excuse sin, the law has not been impacted upon their heart the way it ought to be. They don't have the regard for God's law. You look in Romans chapter 7, I mentioned this earlier, but I'm still not going to read the chapter. But consider what the Apostle Paul said. In verse 7 of Romans 7, Paul said, I had not known sin but by the law. I had not known sin but by the law. We ought to thank God if we have a knowledge of sin. Sin is the transgression of God's law. Sin is lawlessness. It's what it really is. Paul, in that life before the Damascus Road, as Saul of Tarsus, the religious Pharisee said, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Sin is the transgression of the law. And I'll say again, if you have a sense of sin, you ought to thank God that you recognize sin as sin. And sin is so deceitful, sometimes it's not easily recognized, but the law of God makes known sin to be what it is. You know, in the individual, the first preparation in you and I for heaven was to first know that we deserved hell. That was the first preparation in me for heaven, was to make me realize I deserved hell because I was a sinner. I mentioned this in Alabama last week. I wish somebody would write a hymn, "Count Your Sins," instead of "Count Your Blessings." Count your sins. We did a little math. The Bible says your sins are multiplied before God. I did just a little multiplication, and I know my sin is far greater than that number I came up with there. Far greater, our sin. Back in James again, I'll read this one more time. In the book of James, James said in James chapter 3 and in verse 2, "In many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." Some of the greatest sins, I think, of saints is not so much what is outward. Sometimes it's just thoughts. Sometimes it is words. Sometimes it goes beyond words. But again, in verse 2, this was just impressed upon me. It's in many things. It's in many things. Now think about the omniscience of God. He knows all. He sees all. He knows concerning sins that you and I are not even aware of. One of the most, I don't know what word to use, but one of the things that really strikes me about the omniscience of God is that he not only knows what I do and what I say, he knows what I think. Again, the psalmist says, "Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Even before I think them, God knows, and he knows the motive of the thought, everything concerning the thought." But the greatness of our sins, the greatness of our sins, "In many things we offend all." And we sing the hymn, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Saints need to have an understanding of sin, need to be reminded of sin. We know that judicially they're put away, they're forgiven. All of our sins were atoned for by the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet they're still daily sins. If you and I did not sin all throughout our waking hours, what would be the need of the intercessory work of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's a necessary work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility, as I read in the book of 1 John, confess our sins. But the only sins we can confess rightly is the ones that we are aware of. I know we can pray, "Forgive us our sins," but again, it's a good thing to name those sins, number those sins, but then there's those sins we're not even aware of. It is so deceitful. The blood of Jesus Christ is so precious to believers because it still washes away our sins. There's nothing that we can do. The Bible says it's not by any works of righteousness. Being sorry for sin just will not get it. Being sorry for sin has never cleansed anyone from sin. Judas was sorry. I mean, he repented and went out and hung himself and went to his own place. Changing the way you live does not wash away sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I'm thankful for the blood of Christ. I want to read this to you in the book of Leviticus. It's a good passage to keep in mind. In the book of Leviticus and in chapter 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Whether we're speaking about the sin of unbelievers or the sin of a believer, it still requires the blood in order for us to have forgiveness. It still requires the blood. I like these words in verse 11. It is the blood. It is the blood. And as we sing sometimes, nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. I want to read one more place in the book of Colossians. In the book of Colossians and in chapter 1, verse 14, speaking of Christ, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You and I daily need the forgiveness of sins. And it's still through his blood. Through his blood. I'll mention again, we need that intercessory work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we still need the cleansing agent of the blood of Christ. If you and I are going to have forgiveness from daily sins, it still requires the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blood has never lost its power to cleanse, wash us from our sins.